Okay, we joined David and Yainison on Erev Rosh Chodesh, preparing for Yainison to test his father, Shaul, and to find out if he really has it out for David or not. And they agreed to this simon whereby David would hide, and when Yainison would return, he would return with an aide or an attendant who would go fetch the arrows that he was shooting for target practice. And they agreed on a simon. The simon was, if the arrows were shot beyond this young man, and he told this young man, go get it, that's a sign that David should go away and run for his life. And if the arrows would be closer, then that would be a sign, he would tell the bachur, come closer to get the arrows, that would be a sign that David too should come closer, that everything is safe. That's what the simon was, and later at the end of the Haftarah, that is what takes place. When we ended last time, I mentioned to you the rather mysterious nature of this whole simon, because it would seem much easier to just tell David rather than to do the arrows. As we'll see at the end of the Haftarah, he shoots the arrows, does the simon, and then schmoozes with David. So why not just schmooze with David and tell him? Tell them directly. So it may be that in Pashat Pshat,
when he's confronted with Shaul, that he shouldn't say that I told him.
He's confronted with Shaul, I should say. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Lemaisa, there are, like I say, in Pashat Pshat, it could be, he said, who knows if I'll be able to speak to you, maybe people will see, so maybe I'll have to do it this way. But Lemaisa and the Rishayim, we do find two different hasbeirim. The one that's most appealing is the Marikara's Bior. The Marikara is not Rabbi Yosef Kara who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, but one of the Mefarshim here in the Makaris Gedolos Nevi'im. He says, in line with the general rule, the Chafetz Chaim writes, that when you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara, you should try, or anything that's Aser, you should try to limit the way you say it. I guess similar to what Yaakov Avinu did when he said, Adi Bincha B'charcha Esau, when he lied to Yitzchak and said that I'm your oldest son. So Rashi says, he said, Adi Bincha, I'm your son, and B'charcha Esau, you B'chara Zesav. Now, he didn't tell it to Yitzchak that way. He said to Yitzchak, I am your oldest son, Esau, but nevertheless, Chavetz Chaim explains that even when you have a heter to speak Lashon Hara, or to say a lie in that case, you should best do it in a Lashon or in a manner that avoids doing it outright. So a person does not get in the habit of doing these things. So the Marikara says that is what Yainis, he didn't want to say outright to speak Lashon Hara. And therefore he said, let's do a simon and I'll do it that way. And that's the way that I'll tell it to you. That was his thing. In repeating this, it came to mind the story of the Chafetz Chaim, which is published in all the biographies, that a Jew once came to Radin to see the Chafetz Chaim, and not knowing what he looked like, he got off the train, saw an old man, who happened to be the Chafetz Chaim, but he saw an old man, he came upon him and said, you know where the Chafetz Chaim lives? And this man said, why do you want to see the Chafetz Chaim? And he said, why? What are you talking about? He's a big tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham. And he praised him. So the Chafetz Chaim, in hearing this, I guess he flinched. And he said, I know him. He's not such a big Talmud Chacham. He's not such a big tzaddik. He's not what he's made out to be. So this Jew, hearing someone talk about the Chafetz Chaim that way, lashed out at him and struck him. And the storybooks, as the years go on, become more vivid in their description of his beating. So, Chafetz Chaim, later when he found out who he hit, he felt terrible and he came back and apologized. And, as it's recorded, the Chafetz Chaim said, I deserved it, a person shouldn't speak Lashon Hara even about himself. Well, that's the story as it's brought down. The problem with the story is it's just not true. A person's allowed to say Lashon Hara about himself. There's no, prohibition on Beirad L'chaveira, a person to himself. So I asked this to Rav Palm, and Rav Palm told me that it bothered him about the story too. And maybe he meant, the Chafetz Chaim meant, that it's just not good to get in the habit of saying Lashon Hara. You may say it about yourself, which is mutter. It's just not a good thing to get in the habit of doing. And that's what he meant. The person shouldn't say Lashon Hara about himself. He appointed me to a place where the Chafetz Chaim says that even though you're allowed to say Lashon Hara about non-Jews, but it's not good to get in the habit. The same thing, you're allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself, it's not good to get in the habit. Anyway, that's the idea here. The idea is even when you're allowed to say these things, it's not good to get into the habit. All right, so let's rejoin David and Yonason in their final meeting, actually. After this, they never meet again. Yonason is killed in battle, in the same battle as Shaul, just a few prokim from here. At any rate, Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'adavar shedibarnu ani va'ota, hinei Hashem beini ubeincha ad olam. This which we have spoken, they had spoken actually earlier in this parak, about being loyal towards each other. He says, Hashem beini ubeincha, God is our witness, so to speak, that we're going to keep to it. V'yisase David basade, and David hid in the field. V'yia chaydesh, and it came rash chaydesh, v'yeshev ha-melech al ha-lechem le'echel. And the king sat down to break bread to eat the sudas rosh chodesh. V'yeshev ha-melech ha-mayshavoy kipam b'fam. And the king sat at the head of the table, as he always did. Well, mayshav ha-kir at the table against the wall, at the head of the table. V'yakim yaynason. V'yeshev avner mitzad shol. V'yipokeid mekayim David. Okay, the etiquette was the son did not sit right next to his father. It wasn't considered respectful. He sat at a slight distance. And I believe that the Rabbi Lachasa brings this as a proper behavior, not to pretend it, but if a person has that awe, to be at a slight distance. Well, the son-in-law sat next to the shul. It sounds like a son-in-law doesn't have to have the same awe of his father-in-law. And Yonason was the second seat. Well, David didn't show up. Yonason would have naturally been the seat closest to shul. So he let the general Avner take that seat, v'yipokei became David, and it was noticed that David's seat was empty. And Shaul didn't comment. He didn't say anything about David missing. Kiyama mikrehu, bilti taharu, kiloi tahar. Could be he just happens to be Tameh. And being Tameh, he did not come. Now, why in the world would he not come because he's Tameh? That's the issue here. Unless one understands that they were eating basar kachim, they were eating kachim, they weren't eating truma, they're not kayanim. So you're allowed to eat things that are tummy. You're allowed to eat with a tummy person at the table. Question is why this would be an issue. So there's a concept of eating chulin al taras hakaydish. As a matter of fact, chulin al taras hakaydish means to eat chulin. You're allowed to be tummy. Matter of fact, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, most people had periods they were tamei. A man is tamei for a day. After damnida, a woman is tamei for 7 days. So there are times when people are tamei. Nevertheless, there's a mailitit chulin al taras hakaydish. Very interesting that the Magen Avraham brings this in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh Pein al Shabbos. And again, in the Tafresh by Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he says that the Arizal was noyig during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to eat only chulin al taras hakodesh. B'zman hazeh. How could you do that? If you wanted to eat only chulin al taras hakodesh, how would you do it?
I think that might be the mukshir.
He would eat only fruits that were not mukshir l'kabal tuma. Only things that were not, a fruit that's never made wet, a flour that comes from a kernel of wheat that was never made wet, and is made into, I guess they have to make it into a bread with fruit juice, these things are not machshel lekabel tuma. So he ate only things that were not machshel lekabel tuma, and he only drank mei be'er. He only drank water that was mechubel lekarka, that's not mekabel tuma. So Magavram wonders, how do you do that exactly? Like, you could put your mouth down to the be'er and drink it, but when it's in your mouth, it should become tummy. Why is it not mush lekabel tuma?
He used a straw,
and when it fell out of the straw into his mouth, why didn't it become tummy?
I thought it's mush lekabel tuma, it's not considered like a...
When it's in his mouth? I don't know. It's machlek in the Mishnah, nitzuk chibor, if there's such a thing by tuma. So, So I don't know. Chidor writes it's possible in his Hagos to Shulchan Aruch. But anyway, the point is that there's a Maila Tichol on Taras HaKadosh. The Rambam Pshita is that it's a Chiyuv. I shouldn't say Chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for every ordinary person to Yicholin al Tichol on Taras HaKadosh. Yicholin means as if it's Kadosh to eat it B'Tara. I shouldn't say that. He says there's mitzvah Yicholin B'Tara. Chulin Taras HaKadosh is a Maila. That means even a Revi, Lachoma. But Tichulin Al Tara is actually a mitzvah for every person.
Shalom also brings it. Shalom brings it.
It's a Rambam. It's before the Shalom. But, yeah, there's a Shalom in it also. At any rate, getting back. So he's the first day. David's not here. Okay. Maybe it was Tommy. V'imi Machras HaKadosh HaShayni. Comes the second day of Rosh Chodesh. V'ipokim Mekayim David. Now, Shaul couldn't take it. Vayemir Shaul al Yaitis and Benai. Madua loy bo ven Yishai gam tumoil gam hayoim al halochem. Why didn't David show up, the son of Yishai, neither yesterday nor today, to the meal? Vayan Yaitisin es Shaul, and Yaitisin lied. He said to Shaul, Nishal David me imodi ad beis lochem. David asked me for permission to go and back home. He came from Beis Lachem. Let me go back home. Vayomer shacheinina. And David said to me, allow me to go, ki zevach mishpacha lanu. We have a family carbon, but here in the city. Vehu, and David, tzivili yachi, David, my brother, commanded me, and I gave in to him, vato, imetzosichem beinecha, imoltono ve'eres echoi, saying, if I find chen in your eyes, allow me, and I will slip away and see my family.
This story, is it consistent with what the Chofetz Chaim said, that if you can speak Lashon Hara, do it as simply as possible? He said he was sick or something like that.
Why would that be less of a lie than saying that he's in this lesson?
That's not less of a lie, but the amount of Lashon Hara or whatever.
Amount of lying, you're right. He lied, he straight out lied. Okay. Vayichar Avshal v'yaynesin. Why did he get angry? Pella, this part of the story. Maybe it's true. No, he seemed to catch on that it wasn't true. So, you know, he curses him. Vayichar Avshal v'yaynesin. Yaynesin, his anger is, he's enraged at Yaynesin. And he said to him, Vayyamalai, Benava Samardus, you're a descendant of a non-loyal mother. It's a curse. Yadati, now I know that you choose the side of Benishai, levashtecha, to your own shame, levashis ervasimecha, and to the busha of your mother's nakedness. Kichol hayom mishe Benishai chai, you should know, as long as David is alive, alo adama, loisikain ato mechosecha, your kingdom will never be established, v'ata shlach v'kach v'se'elai ki b'mavis, so bring him here, I want to kill him. So the first difficulty is how he knew he was lying. One of the indications that's mentioned here in the Mefarshim, Shaul did not refer, from the time Shaul became jealous of David, he never refers to him as David, he refers to him as Ben Yishai. Ben Yishai is a derogatory term. We find in the Meraglim, they say, V'chizeb, V'vad, Osalonu, Ben Amram, right, to sound like he's against Moshe. Kalev says, is that all Ben Amram did? What's Ben Amram? Moshe. When you say someone is worthless, you say he's the son of such and such. He himself is not worthy of mention. And three times here, Shaul refers to him as Ben Yishai. And David refers to him as David, respectfully. And that respectful tone, Shaul saw where Yainasin's loyalty was. Maybe on a more simple level, it could just be that Yonason was not a good liar. Some people are not experienced at lying, and sometimes when people lie, it comes across. Today's presidential candidate's not included in that group. But if you're not experienced, then the lie doesn't come across. At any rate, Shaul is enraged. Now, one of the mysteries of Shmuel Aleph is why Shaul was out to kill David. He was sick. Why did he want to kill him?
And he became jealous.
I know depressed people and they're out to kill their sons-in-law.
He became mad. He went off a little bit off.
So why did he want to kill Yonasan? Why did he want to kill David?
Why did he want to kill David? Because he considered David's going to want to replace him. And that's where his sickness took place. We always say kina is a tie that takes away.
Okay, you're right. There's this knetch more to it. And the knetch is this. It's true. It's 100% true that he saw that David would be Melech. As a matter of fact, the minute that David killed Goliath, at that point there was no feeling. The minute he killed Goliath, he turned and asked Doeg, is that man worthy of being king? Is he eligible to be king? Is he a child of Yehuda? So the point is this. Shaul's life's mission was to be sort of Mashiach ben Yosef in preparation for Mashiach ben David. Shaul was supposed to destroy Amalek and prepare for a period where Malchus would go to Yehuda as an eternal Malchus. Now he knew that lo yaser shevet Yehuda. Once a member of Yehuda is king, it's over. Because once he's king, it doesn't go back to Shaul's family. And therefore, after failing to destroy Amalek, his only hope to be able to fix his mistake, to be able to make up for it, him or his descendants, was if there would be no one from Yehuda Roy for Malchus, in which case there would be another opportunity. And that was the Ruach Ra, the sickness, like you say, that he had. I think the Barbanel uses the word melancholy for the sickness. And however you diagnose it, that was the illness. We find nowhere in all the writings, as far as I know, where Shaul is held accountable for having pursued and tried to kill David on a number of occasions. There's no place where he's punished for it or held accountable for it at all. So that it seems that, given his condition, it was an excusable thing. Now what happens here is incredible. Yan Yonasan is Shaul Aviv. Yonasan replies, V'emre Elav Lama Yumas Me'asa. Why do you want to kill him? What did he do? V'yotel Shaul Esachanis Olav Lahakoisai. David throws a spear at his own son. Shaul throws a spear at Yonasan, at his own son, and apparently he missed. V'yeda Yonasan ki chola hi me'yamad. Aviv Lahamis says, David, he got this feeling that Shaul was serious. And one way to get the feeling. V'yokam Yonasan me'yim ha'shulchan b'chariyaf. He got up angrily. V'lo'ochal b'yam ha'chedesh ha'sheni lechem. Ki ne'etza v'al David ki ichlim ha'yaviv. He was now, he himself was saddened, because of what his father did to David. So at any rate, Yonasan realizes the truth. He's gonna go out to David and let him know, and I guess, there'll be another Machar Chaydish. I think September 4th is, Erev Rosh Chaydish Elul, which is September 5th. Rosh Hashanah is not till October this year. Very rare occurrence. And it's Hashem will return at that time. Somebody will remember that we're up to Pasuk Lamed Hey, and hear a little more about the Aftarah.